In 1959, the legendary Vince Lombardi was hired to be the head coach of the Green Bay Packers with the difficult task of turning around a losing franchise. The legend goes that after a miserable showing from the Packers, the players gathered in the locker room in silence, waiting for Lombardi to enter and give them the verbal beating of their lives. After a few moments, Lombardi entered the room with a football in his hands. He stood in silence, searching for words. The players braced themselves for the worst. Lombardi lifted the football and broke the silence with arguably the most legendary football quote in NFL history. He said, "Gentlemen, this is a football." He then proceeded to explain the boundaries of a football field, the goal line, and how putting the ball across the goal line scores 6 points. Those five legendary words, "Gentlemen, this is a football," marked Lombardi's legacy as a coach. He would take his team back to the basics. He would demand perfection in the fundamentals of the game. After years of losing, Lombardi took the Packers to win 5 championships in 7 years. In fact, the Packers never had a losing season under Lombardi. He is regarded as the greatest coach of all time. He left such a legacy that the Super Bowl trophy is named the Lombardi Trophy. All of this because Lombardi took his struggling team back to the basics. This is a football. This is how football is played. They knew that, but they needed to be reminded to have victory. So it's my desire this morning as we meet together in our Sunday school hour to remind us of some fundamental truths of the Christian faith that we often fail to consider or grow forgetful of. And I would like to speak to you on the subject of Christian courtesy. Christian courtesy. Christian courtesy is becoming, or perhaps has become, a lost virtue in our world, in our nation, and yes, even our churches. And yet, courtesy is among those topics that falls under practical Christianity 101. The practical Christianity category 101, the simple, the basics, the fundamental. We should know these things, but it's helpful for us to be reminded of them so that we might be a burning and bright light for the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's begin here by giving the meaning of courtesy. Christian courtesy. What does it mean? What is courtesy? Well, courtesy, in its simplest secular definition, is to be polite, to be respectful. And I'm all fine with secular definitions, but I would rather have the definition given from God and given from God's Word. And it's interesting, if you look at the Merriam-Webster dictionary or other definitions and other dictionaries, you will find that those definitions of courtesy are really just coming from the Bible. So let's go to the Bible. And I think a great biblical definition for Christian courtesy is found in Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 through 4. And if you know the context of the epistle and of Philippians chapter 2, you know that Paul is charging the Christians in Philippi to be Christ-like. And notice what he says in verses 3 and 4. He says, "Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." There it is. There is the definition of Christian courtesy. Don't do things out of personal ambition. Don't do things to please yourself. Do things that will please others, because that is the spirit of Christ. Christ Jesus did not come into the world to be ministered unto. Christ Jesus came into the world to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Christian courtesy is simply the second part of the great commandment given by the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you remember the Lord was asked, what's the greatest commandment out of all the commandments given in the scriptures? What is the one great commandment? And Jesus responded, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. And to love others as yourself. That's the great commandment. That's Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 through 4. And that's Matthew 22, verse 39. And Jesus says there, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And Luke chapter 6, verse 31. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. That's Christian courtesy defined. As you want others to do to you, you need to do to them. The meaning of courtesy. Now let's look at the motive of courtesy. So we see that we are to be courteous. These are commandments given in the scriptures. But what's the motive behind it? As we work through this and as we come to give specific detailed examples of way we can be courteous, we must be careful that we do not make them a list of legalistic standards. Specific ways we can show courtesy must never be the only measure of spirituality, okay? Now, we're going to give specifics here shortly, but I want you already thinking of the motive of courtesy. We do not do things to be spiritual. Being courteous, polite, and kind does not necessarily mean that we are Christ-like. There are many people in this world who are not Christians who are polite and kind, but they are doing so out of a selfish motive. The motive should be to glorify God. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. And so as we look at this again, I don't want you to misunderstand in the beginning here. Being courteous is not, in specific ways we can be courteous, is not a legalistic standard. Our spirituality flows from our relationship with Christ, not our relationship with specific standards. Does that make sense? Now, I will say courtesy should be the natural outflow of one's walk with the Lord. And that's the great commandment, to love God and love others. We will rightly obey the second commandment, to love others as ourselves, if we rightly obey the first commandment, to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. In other words, our horizontal relationship with men is directly related to our vertical relationship to God. And so as we seek to demonstrate courtesy, we must do so with the proper spirit. And the proper spirit is the spirit of humility. Right there in the text, Philippians chapter 2. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, denying yourself. He must increase, I must decrease. That's the right spirit. Not according to self-interest, but in lowliness of mind. The humble spirit is courteous because it gives glory to God. It is courteous because it expects nothing in return. This is the motive. When we are courteous, we're not seeking recognition or praise or applause from men, but we are doing it in lowliness of mind like the Lord Jesus Christ. It is courteous because it is what God desires and what is best for others. So we've looked at the meaning of courtesy. We've looked at the motive of courtesy. Now let's look at the models of courtesy. Are there specific examples in the scriptures that we can glean from regarding courtesy? And I'm going to go through these rather quickly. We don't have time to dwell on all of them. But let me give you a few main examples of models. People in the scripture who model biblical courtesy. Pastor Torres has been teaching through Genesis on Sunday mornings in our Sunday school hour. In Genesis chapter 23 with Abraham, we see an excellent illustration of courtesy. Abraham purchasing a burial plot for his wife Sarah from the sons of Heth. You remember the account? Abraham seeks to buy a plot of land. The sons of Heth respond, "Abraham, you are a mighty prince. Just go ahead and take the land and bury your dead. Please feel free to use whatever you desire. You do not need to pay anything." What does Abraham do? Abraham bows, insisting to pay whatever it's worth. And Ephron tells Abraham that the land is his. It is our gift, Abraham. Go ahead, take care of your need, bury your dead. Abraham bows again, and again insists that he must do what is right and pay for the land. And the amount of the land is finally given after this tennis match. And Abraham pays 400 shekels of silver that it's worth. Well, he's a man of faith. He's a man of dignity. He's a man of character. What is that? That's biblical courtesy. Abraham was a rich man, you know. And he did not want to take advantage of the generosity of others. He wanted to humbly pay what it was worth. That's biblical courtesy. When we look at the Old Testament, we see the account of David and Saul. Saul is king over Israel, and in God's divine plan, David is up next. David has the blessing of God on his life, but he is still serving King Saul. King Saul wants to destroy David because of his jealousy. Saul has slain his thousands, David his 10,000s. David was respectful towards Saul even when Saul hated David. David played music for Saul even though Saul was taking spears and trying to nail him to the wall. What is that? That's biblical courtesy. How about Boaz and Ruth and that wonderful story of God's providence and the redemption of Ruth? This poor widow woman, Boaz noticing Ruth and unselfishly providing for her. What is that? Courtesy. How about the one leper out of the ten lepers who were healed, and one leper returned to the Lord Jesus Christ to glorify him and to give thanks. That one leper showed biblical courtesy. In lowliness of mind, he was humble and grateful for what the Lord had done, and he was going to say thank you. The one leper had the spirit of indebtedness rather than entitlement. That's courtesy. How about the story of the Good Samaritan? The Samaritan who had compassion on the man who was severely wounded and robbed by the thieves. The Samaritan bandaged the wounds, brought this man beat up by thieves to a hotel and took care of him. When others had passed by, when others did not show courtesy, and others who were religious externally, the Samaritan was the one who showed courtesy, love, kindness, humility of mind, putting others before self. The greatest model of courtesy is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think there are many instances that we could allude to, but that time where Christ bends down and washes the dirty, stinking feet of the disciples, God in the flesh, bowing down to the disciples and washing their feet. This is not given as an ordinance of the church, but as an example to the church. And the example is to be a humble, selfless servant. The disciples wore sandals walking through the dirt. Their feet would grow rather dirty and rather smelly. So here they are in a house. It was proper to wash your feet so the dirt doesn't come in. Fellowshipping with another, we don't want the stench of feet. Let me wash your feet. And so those are some models for us. Now let's look at the manner of courtesy. Are you still with me this morning? The manner of courtesy. Now we are going to spell out some specifics, the ways in which we can be courteous. All right, Vince Lombardi, this is a football. And he spells out the specifics of the games that the players already know. I think it's helpful for us to remember specific ways in which we can show courtesy in our world to the lost and in our church to our brothers and sisters in Christ. There are dozens of areas we could highlight this morning, and we could create a very large list of specific ways that we can show courtesy to others. But being limited in our time, I want to stay focused, brushing over what I believe to be the main areas of life. So let me break this down into subpoints and areas of life in which we can show courtesy. Now again, as we go through these specifics, they are not legalistic standards. We do not give them so we can take the hammer and crush other people who are not courteous. Are you still with me? That's not the desire. But the idea is, as we go through these specifics, it's not a hammer that we take and hold others accountable with. No, it's a mirror that will help us to be Christ-like. So how about courtesy in our conversations? Let's start there. Should we begin with an altar call? Courtesy in our conversations, our verbal conversations. What are ways in which we can be courteous? Well, how about when you are in conversation with others, do not interrupt others in their conversation. All right, now we're all guilty. We're all fallen men. We're all striving to do our best. This is an area that we need reminding of. Others are talking and telling you about something, and we want to butt in. Oh, wait, let me tell you, let me change the subject. We need to be careful of that. How about do not dominate conversations with others by talking about yourself? And sometimes that is a way we can be rude, selfish. When we talk to others and it's all about us, 90% of the conversation is about us, what we've done. We don't ask any questions. How are you doing? How was your week? How can I be a blessing to you? Is there anything I can pray for? And so we must put others before ourselves. And another way we can be courteous in our conversations is to listen, to be a good listener. God gave us two ears and one mouth for a reason. Amen. It's a verbal sermon illustration. And James says, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak. And so to listen is to be courteous. When you are speaking, verbal conversations, how about making eye contact? Now, so for some people, this is harder than others, but it's very courteous. Right? You don't want to be watching over here when somebody's talking to you right here. To make eye contact, to let them know that you're listening. You are interested in what they have to say. It's a courtesy. And then, how about in our phone etiquette? When you answer the phone, you say, yeah, what? What do you want? Who is this? Oh, there's a way to be courteous. And then in our written conversations, or emails, texts, letters, social media, and there are ways in which we can be polite and gracious. And all this really falls under, I think, common sense. sanctified common sense perhaps, but common sense nonetheless. Responding to emails promptly if it's important. Texts and letters, social media, being polite and not putting yourself out there and always speaking of yourself. How about don't wait until the last second to communicate with others? There's a deadline, something that needs to be done or addressed. Don't wait till the last second to communicate. How about this? Courtesy in our conversations, always keeping your word. And I know, again, we're sinful men. Sometimes we do forget. And sometimes busyness comes, but it should be our striving to let our yes be yes and our no be no. We don't want to be known as a habitual liar. It's a bad testimony. So always keeping your word. The Bible has much to say about telling the truth. Being honest one with another. So that's courtesy in our conversations. Now let's turn to courtesy in our appointments. Courtesy in our appointments. You have an appointment set. Perhaps for work. We have an appointment this morning. Appointment with the Lord at church. You have an appointment with the doctor. Appointments. Courtesy. How can we serve others better than ourselves? Well, don't be late. Be on time. Strive to be early. You're early for weddings. You're early for funerals. You're not walking in late during a funeral. You try to be early for work, right? You'll get fired if you're not on time. And then so it should be in church as well. This is a courtesy. Being late says that you don't care about other people's schedules. Courtesy in our conversation, courtesy in our appointments. And then let's look now at courtesy in the home. Courtesy in the home. Husbands and wives have their specific roles and responsibilities. They talk about it and what they like to do, what's expected in the house. But they are each, husband and wife, are each to serve one another, to humble themselves and to help out. Well, I'm a man. I never touch the dishes. So I'm a man. Come on. Your wife's had a hard day. Running appointments, cleaning the house, going to the store. And perhaps if she has little ones, homeschooling little ones, running them to school. And cooking a nice meal. She packed your lunch for you. She cooked you breakfast. Now we can humble ourselves and help out a little bit. It's okay, wives, to say amen there. You don't have to be afraid of your husbands. I'll talk to them later. How about picking up after yourself? Come home, throw your shoe this way, throw your other shoe that way, throw your socks on the lamp and throw your other sock behind the couch. That's not courteous. Pick up after yourself. Why should others have to pick up after you? Teenagers, are you still awake, teenagers? Are you with me? Clean up after yourselves. All right, help with the chores around the house. Be a servant. Mom, dad, how can I help? This is courteous. And this is developing character. Amen. Now, in the home, this is your training ground for the real world. So begin in the home. How can I serve my mom and dad? They're my boss right now. One day, I will have a boss when I'm an employee somewhere else. But I need to be faithful to my boss, my mom and dad now, and ultimately, my heavenly boss, the Lord Jesus Christ. So I need to develop these characteristics now and help out around the house. Again, the spirit of indebtedness or entitlement. A lot of teenagers think they're entitled to everything. Mom and dad have to do everything for me because they had me and I'm here. They're taking care of everything, making sure you have food and clothes, nice place to sleep, making sure you're taken care of. And it's the least we can do to say thank you, Mom, Dad, to lift up our eyes and look and to be appreciative of what we have. To look around the world and we have it so good. Now, counsel to parents. As we talk about courtesy in the home, I have some counsel to parents. And I have placed this under courtesy in the home, but it overflows to every area of life. All right? Know where your children are and what they are doing. Don't expect others to watch them all the time. Teach your young ones to respond in conversation. Now, this is an area that I'm struggling with and I'm seeking to do better. So when my oldest boy is greeted by someone in church and he wants to look down, look up, make eye contact, put your hand out there, shake hands. What is that? Courtesy. I want to teach him not to be rude. It's rude to look away. It's rude to ignore somebody who's talking to you. We're teaching our young ones in the home, making sure that they pick up after themselves, that they pick up their toys and they pick up their trash. Courtesy, we're teaching them, developing them to be courteous, making sure that they don't interrupt conversations. That's courteous. Mommy and daddy are talking right now. You have to wait. All right, parents, this is something that we think they can just butt in and it's okay. No. All right, you can have your turn, but the adults are talking. You need to wait. At dinner time, another battle I'm facing. You can pray for me. Kids leaning back on chairs, getting up from the table whenever they want to, coming and going. Finger in the nose. Don't do that. It's not polite. It's gross. It's not courteous. So we teach our children courtesy by our example. All right? And don't get in the habit, parents, of pushing your kids off on babysitters all the time. Parents and grandparents and neighbors and church members, you know, there are some people who say, can you watch my kids? I have to go to the salon. Can you watch my kids? I have to get my nails done. Can you watch my kids? I have to go watch the Dodgers game with the boys. Can you watch my kids? I've got to go Christmas shopping all day. Now, parents, you decided to have the children. You raised them. Don't inconvenience others if you don't have to. Now, there are times, don't get me wrong, let's be balanced. There are times in which we've called on others. We've got to go to the hospital with Courtney. She broke open her chin. Could you help us? We're in a squeeze. All right. Or I want to go on a little date night, and it's not every week. It's more rare than it should. You know, and so we have our in-laws watch the kids for us, but there's a balance. And parents need help. There are occasions, but those occasions should be more rare. Figure out how you can do what you need to do without constantly relying on others. Run errands in the evenings. Run errands on Saturdays. And in our home, often we've adjusted in our schedule. Becky now sometimes goes to the store early in the morning before everybody's awake. Right? I've got my responsibilities. I've got to be at the church. So rather than inconveniencing me at the church, she's going to go before the day starts. Right? Dinner time's after I come home, right? She doesn't want to go then. She could go maybe after dinner. I could watch the kids. But we're working out, being courteous, trying to show courtesy in the home. Now let's turn now to courtesy in the workplace. Courtesy in the workplace. All right? Can you think of areas? I'm going to spout them out. Think of areas you're paid, you're an employee, you have a job, you're thankful for it, God's provided, and you want to show Christian courtesy. How can you do it? Well, work hard. Work hard. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. That's courtesy. Don't waste time. Don't be lazy. And the millennials need help with this. There's so much wasted time on the job. That's stealing. That's being a thief. Searching time, searching the internet, and talking and gossiping and talking about other things. Don't steal time from your employer. It's rude. It's wrong. It's not Christ-like. And follow the instructions, guidelines, and desires of the boss or manager, right? You're an employee under a boss or manager. You're not the boss or manager, so don't try to pretend to be it. All right, the boss or manager told you to do something. Now, you may have freedom and wiggle room to do certain things, but if he is expecting something to be done, it's courtesy to make sure to do it the way he wants it, whether you agree with it or not, right? It's courtesy. Check with the boss if there are changes you want to make. Don't assume that he will be okay with changes if you don't have the liberty to make them. How about this? Be patient with patrons. You're an employee. Be patient with other co-workers, yes, but also be patient with your customers. Don't go around complaining at work. Oh, I hate this job. Don't gossip to other coworkers. Don't talk negatively about other customers or patrons in front of other customers and patrons. I just saw this last night. All right, I was going to treat my wife to dinner. I was going to cook for her. So what I did is I went to McDonald's for the kids. Then I went to John's place for the adults. And I said, I'm going to cook for you because I'm teaching on courtesy tomorrow. And I'm at the drive-thru at McDonald's. We have a McDonald's employee here. Is she here? Okay. She's not here. It wasn't her anyways. And the one employee was talking to another employee negatively about another customer who was just in. Okay, so you do talk and you work things out and you want to strive to do your best. And so you talk about situations. But to do it in front of other customers is very, very rude. So that's courtesy. All right, now courtesy in the church. Let's switch gears there. Courtesy in the church. Again, be on time. That's courteous. We're here to worship the Lord. Be on time. I would say even be early. Listen, how many sports fanatics we have here? Do you like to be early for the game? Yeah, get in your seat. Get the hot dog. Be ready to go. All right, Black Friday's coming around the corner. Ladies, you like to be early to the shops. You want to be front in line to get that $50 off the LCD TV. All right, you're early for other things, for the weddings and the funeral. What about the church, the worship of God? In church, don't sleep. That's courteous. Don't sleep. Don't fall asleep. Kick yourself if you have to. Let your wife elbow you in the gut. Don't sleep. Go to bed early. If you want to prevent that, go to bed early Saturday night, right? We're preparing to worship the triune God. All right, courtesy in the church. How about welcoming visitors? Welcoming visitors. I've heard of instances in which Christians tell me about experiences on vacation in which they go to a church and not one single person says hello to them. When they tell me this, this is a foreign concept now. I don't go visiting churches, so again, it's a foreign concept to me. But last year, when we were visiting my grandparents in Eastern Washington, we picked out a random church nearby that we thought was somewhat balanced. And we came in as it was beginning, the service were beginning. We stood on the side looking for the seat. There were no open seats, and we're standing there awkwardly. Like, should we go or should we stay? Is anybody going to help us? Is anybody going to get up? Obviously, we're new. We don't look like we fit in here. And finally, we squeezed through, found a seat. After the sermon, one person behind us said just a quick hello. We appreciated that, but nobody else came. I passed two leaders. I'm assuming they were pastors. Two leaders who were on the platform during the service. I passed them on the way out of the door, not one acknowledgement. I was shocked. Then I could see what other people were telling me about. If I lived in that area, I probably would not go back to that church, right? Why? It's courtesy. Friendliness, kindness, right? I didn't go for myself. Now I want to be careful. Maybe something was going on in the church that I didn't know about. Maybe there's a battle. Maybe there's something. I don't know. But it's courteous to go out of your way and introduce yourself, church. That's everyone, not just the ushers, not just the deacons, not just the pastoral staff, but everyone. All right? Don't be the bump on the log that says, well, I'm going to sit here and see how many people can come say hello to me. All right? It's courteous to get up out of your seat and say hello. And it's courteous, listen, I know, here we go. Kindle a fire, I might be crucified here. Be willing to move if someone needs a seat. I don't see any names on the pews reserved. I know we like our tradition. Somebody comes in and things are tight. Oh, here, have a seat. You can sit here. No, this is my seat. Get out of here. It's not courteous. They might be lost. Yeah. Here they are coming into church, hearing the gospel. They might be struggling, needing love and needing a friend. Be willing to move. That's courteous. How about refraining from getting up during the sermon? That's courteous. Now, again, we want to be balanced and gracious. Sometimes there are situations. There are health problems. Brother Crowder gets up. He goes. He's taking care of Sunday school. All right. There are emergencies. There are nurses that get called in. We understand all that. But if you can help it, try not to be a distraction to the preacher or others around by getting up, coming back, getting up, coming back. That's courteous. How about church dinners? Uh-oh, here we go. Do not run to the front of the line. Church dinner pastor says, go ahead. Yep, I'm going to be there. And I'm going to be there because I'm going to pile all the food on my plate first. Wait a second. There are others behind. That's why I always go last, because then I don't feel guilty. All right? Let others go. Think about them. All right? There's only a little bit of that delicious cheesecake. Oh, yeah, it looks scrumptious to you, but what about others? Look for others during church dinners who don't have anyone to sit next to. Courtesy. Maybe there's a new family, new face, a guest. I know we like our cliques. Is this too convicting now? But is there somebody that's lonely, somebody that needs encouragement? You can tell. Just look at the faces. Look around. Courtesy. All right? And then here we go. I had this in my notes. Courtesy in the church. Church family, if you can, take care of that which needs attention. All right? I'm just going to read this so I don't get in trouble. Don't tell the pastor the light bulb in the bathroom needs changed. Ask someone for a light bulb and change it yourself if you can. All right, that's courtesy. Tell a deacon, tell an usher, tell a trusted leader in the church. Now, the pastor is preparing to preach two times this morning. I can't go fix a broken sink. All right, no, I appreciate the awareness so we can get somebody on it, but be courteous, think through things. What the pastor is going to throw off his sermon and say, okay, just fend for yourselves while I go take care of the plumbing. Not that he's above plumbing. But it's courteous. Take care of it if you can. Find somebody, and they can take care of it. We had an instance this morning, so we'll just leave it there. All right? How about in the church, letting others know of your absence, especially when you're serving in a leadership role, thinking of others, right? If I'm not there, people are going to get frantic. They're going to have to find replacements. It's going to mess things up. It could mess things up in choir. It could mess things up in other instances. So letting, communicating others when you're not there. I always appreciate it when church members let me know of their absences, not because I want to be a harsh dictator who seeks to micromanage people's lives, but because I love the flock, and I always wonder if they're okay. I wonder if they need anything. I always am curious, so it's kind, it's courteous, I think. We are a family. We are covenanted together. It's expected of us to be here. The worship of God is going on, so let's do our best to let others know of absences. How about church members? And I say this not for myself, but should God lead you to another place, another congregation, another town? You need to remember this. Church members, support and encourage your pastors, as you already do. Remember that they are human. They make mistakes. Don't expect more of them than you should. They're not super Christians. And pastors need to remember to serve their members. The pastors are not the king of the flock. They're the servants of the flock. They're not to be lord over the flock. That's courtesy. And then church, as we're speaking of these things, how about be ready to give to guest preachers and missionaries? Again, we're in that habit, and I want to keep that habit going. That's courtesy. All right, we have a missionary Wednesday night. Let's be prepared to give to him, to encourage him. So he can have gas and food expenses to get to the next church. And he can keep going. And he can remember the church at Calvary Baptist Church. They're a loving church. They're a sacrificial church. They're a gracious church. They love missionaries. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. They showed me their love by the great sacrifice they gave. And parents, and be sure to keep tabs on your children in the church. If I can encourage parents to encourage their little ones to play outside rather than in the building, all right? So running around in the sanctuary. I love hearing the voices of children playing and running and having fun, but I want to be careful that we're not doing that inside. And I'm still working on this. I have five little ones running around, and many of you know that I'm constantly looking around as I'm trying to talk. I'm constantly, you know what I'm talking about, because I want to keep tabs on them. I don't want them swimming in the baptistry. All right, don't want them hanging over the railing or hitting the sprinklers outside. And I'm constantly being the bad police officer. We spent time in the irrigation system. So don't kick the, you know, I'm always the bad cop. So help me out, parents. All right, you can play out here, run around. You've got lots of room. That's courtesy, teaching them to be courteous. All right, there are many other specific ways we can bring out regarding courtesy in the church. Don't file your nails loudly when the preacher's preaching, clipping your nails, clicking your pen 1,000 times, talking to your neighbor the entire sermon. These are just some that come to mind, but this place is where we worship God. There needs to be a reverence, courtesy. All right? Courtesy in the community, real quick. At the store, example. And I see this with other people. Somebody behind you has one item. You've got a million. Let them go ahead. Oh, you've got one? Go ahead. Courtesy. Oh, thanks so much. I appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you. Testimony. At the restaurant, be polite. Say please and thank you. Clean up after yourself. You're at Taco Bell. You've got the tray. You've got your wrappers. You've got your sauces. Don't leave a mess. That's rude. Clean up after yourself. And parents with children especially, teach them to be courteous. Well, they get paid to clean up. Well, yeah, they do, but they sure appreciate it when customers clean up. There's a tip involved. Tip graciously if they're good. If they were a good waiter or waitress, tip. As part of our society still, be courteous. How about this? You invite, you pay. Is that courteous? Don't expect others to pay. There are professional moochers out there who take advantage of the kindness of others. Oh, I'm in a group. Yeah, they're going to pay. All right? Well, you need to be willing to pay, just like Abraham. No, I'm going to pay. I want to pay. Even if they end up giving it to you, you need to say, no, I'm going to pay. And that's the right thing to do. People do jobs for us and gracious, and they say, we're going to do it free of charge. Okay, well, I want you to know that I'm not expecting it. I'm going to at least play the tennis game. All right, now courtesy with technology. Courtesy with technology. Let's start there, shall we? Is that beneficial in our day? Courtesy with technology? Do we need some help in that area? Okay. Television, when other people are at your home visiting. Oh, excuse me. I'm getting a call. Yes, Brother Kinnear. I'm teaching a lesson right now. You're being very rude. What about, do you think I'm being courteous?
Yes. No.
All right. I'll talk to you after the sermon. All right. That was set up. To make a point. All right. Televisions, other people are visiting your home. Be aware of that. Turn it off. All right, unless they came over to watch the ball game. Radios, you're driving the car with others. Don't blast the radio. Communicate with one another. All right, now let's talk about this thing. This electronic leash that turns people into zombies. Oh, I've been tempted on several occasions to preach an entire sermon on this. Maybe one day I will. On the use and misuse of these electronic leashes. I'm thankful for these modern technologies. Don't get me wrong. I use this every day. I've got my Bible app here. I use several times. I can listen to sermons. I have notes over, let's see, I have over 2,000 notes here. And many of them are sermon thoughts, preparations for Sunday and Wednesday. Many of them are honey-do lists and things that I need to remember to do throughout the day. This is great. It's a great tool. But we need to be careful, right? These can be so addicting. It does make life easier. In many ways, it is a help and a blessing. I love the fact that I can FaceTime or Skype with my family who is far away. I love that. I love the fact I can take a picture and text it to somebody and ask questions about it. That's a help. That's not a hindrance. That's a help. But on the other side of the coin, our cell phones can be the greatest pest and poison. And if I can say, turn your cell phones off. Many times, just turn them off. When you're at somebody's, another person's house for dinner, keep it off. Keep it in the phone. It's so rude. My practice is now, somebody's coming over, I do it on stun mode or vibrate mode, and I put on top of the refrigerator, out of sight. Get it out of the way. Not going to interrupt my dinner. Okay? And that needs to be true even when others aren't there. But you, husband and wife, it used to be that they used to communicate at dinner time rather than looking at the phone the whole time. All right, it's rude to text and check Facebook, answer calls when others have given their time to be with you. I wish I could say this is only a millennial problem, but I'm afraid it's a problem of all ages anymore. All right, people do not come over so that you can interrupt them. Keep your cell phones in your car. Turn them off, even at church. All right, we made the point. All right, that's rude. We're preaching. It's an interruption. Why do you need it in the church anyways? I know there's emergencies and we have nurses and things, but if it's going to be a distraction, just get rid of it. All right? And parents, your children see you, they watch you, they observe you. And that's convicting. Sometimes I think, I wonder what my children are going to say of me if I'm always doing this. Yeah, oh, that's nice. Yeah. Oh, good job. Yeah, is that courteous to our children? And a lot of times we have relationship problems in our marriage, in our families, because we're talking to everybody else except those who are closest to us. We can communicate with aunts and uncles and grandparents and parents, but we're called to leave and cleave. And that involves social media. It's not wrong to text mom or dad, aunt and uncle, and brother and sister, but to do it several times every day, it's a little bit much. All right, again, these are not legalistic standards. These are helps. Now, I need to finish. I need to draw a conclusion. So let me do this. Some miscellaneous helps, areas to be courteous. It is not uncourteous to ask for help so long as you are thankful. Some people think, well, I don't want to inconvenience anyone, so I won't ask, because I don't want to be uncourteous. No, let us know. People need a ride to church and they want to serve others. They want to humble themselves. And the only way they can do so is by knowing. Others want to show Christian love, but don't know how to. So it's not wrong to ask for help. All right, it's courteous if you have a problem with someone to go to them and seek to work it out. To go to them in the right spirit and to be courteous. Now, sometimes if it's a real little thing, very minor offense, it's courteous to just let it go. Charity covers a multitude of sins. If you've hurt someone, be courteous. Ask for forgiveness. Eat it up. I made a mistake. Eat it up. Please forgive me. How about ask permission before you use or take something that's not yours? A miscellaneous courtesy. Return that which is borrowed. Elisha's school of the prophets, they're working on the wood. The guy takes the axe head and the head or axe and the axe head falls off into the water. He cries out to Elisha, Elisha, help. Ah, alas, it was borrowed. Courtesy. I need to return it. Modern millennials will be like, it doesn't matter. They can just buy a new one. No, courtesy is saying, this is not mine. I need to take care of it and return it. When you ask someone to do something for you, don't expect that they will do it for free. And this is kind of going in the church. All right, you need someone to work on your car. There's a mechanic in the church. Don't say, well, he's a fellow Christian. He'll do it for free. There's an interior painter in the church. You need your house painted. Well, pay as you would, like Abraham. No, I need to pay what's right. Offer, it's the right thing to do. Now, on the flip side of this, if others have talents that others can benefit from, don't take advantage of others by trying to become rich. All right, another miscellaneous courtesy, smile even when you don't feel like it. Be thankful when someone does something kind and goes out of their way. Express showers of verbal thankfulness. And gentlemen, be a gentleman. Courtesy. Have we lost that in our day? Men being gentlemen, opening doors, being polite to ladies, ladies first. I have many other things to say here, but I'll end it there. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Write that down, courtesy. As ye would that men should do to you, do also to them. Ask yourself, courtesy involves constantly thinking about people and situations. Do you want others to dominate conversations when you talk to them? Don't dominate conversations. Do you want others to be on time to your appointments? Then you need to be on time. If you were the manager of a business, how would you expect your employees to serve you? So serve in that way. If you were looking forward to meeting with someone, would you want them to ignore you as they constantly check their texts, emails, and Facebook? So don't do that. If you were a visitor in a church, would you appreciate it if someone was stingy about their undesignated pew spot? So don't hold that, all right? These specific examples are not given so that we might condemn others for their lack of their courtesy. These specific examples are given so that we might examine our need for courtesy. God is courteous. He is kind. He is loving. And we ought to be courteous. And the reality is, we're going to fail. And we have failed already this morning in many ways. We're going to forget to be courteous. And we're going to forget it because we have this war going on. The flesh and the spirit. The flesh wants to serve self. The spirit says, serve others. But God, by God's grace, we should make it our goal to strive to implement these truths that we've considered. 1 Peter 3:8. Finally, be all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful. Be courteous.